We have many different mental images of what an angel is. All we have to do is look at the media, look at television, look at movies, look at Facebook, and you'll get all sorts of different images and ideas and concepts for what an angel is, from those fat little babies with wings on them that float around and shoot arrows into folk to make them want to love, to old crotchety guys who are you know, don't have their wings yet. We have all sorts of mental images, we have all sorts of visual images, all sorts of preconceptions of what an angel is. When in reality, what we have from Scripture, what we know from the Bible, what we know from the Hebrew Bible and from the New Testament, the New Christian Testament, we know that angels are sort of like members of God's staff that are on the staff up in heaven. They work for God. They were created by God to do God's will, to do God's work, to serve as messengers, to serve as assistants, to serve as the choir. Now, we won't actually touch that one too much, but to serve as soldiers. Michael, the head of the soldier angels. Gabriel, the head of the messenger angels. We have angels doing all sorts of jobs up in heaven, doing all sorts of jobs for God here on earth. Lots of different images, lots of different concepts for angels. And most of us, at one time or another, may indeed believe that we have seen, experienced, encountered, or been encountered by an angel. I was on a trip in Europe. I had visited friends and Methodist pastors in Poland, in northern Poland, and had made a journey south from the north to the south, visiting places, families, churches, from north to south in Poland. And I had just gotten to Warsaw and had been left there by the people who were conducting me on the trip there at the Hilton there in Warsaw, and was going to spend the night prior to getting on a plane the next day to fly home. Except that they didn't have room for me. I'd gotten there, and of course, the room was booked, the room was paid for, but they don't have one available quite yet. You'll have to wait 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours. You know how it is. You wait in the lobby of a hotel, uncomfortable, hungry, needing to go to the bathroom, and not knowing what to do, feeling like you're wasting your time. Well, that was me. So I, you know, opened up my laptop, sat there, got online, checked email with the hotel's free email, and was answering all sorts of emails and taking care of all sorts of things back home that I couldn't do when I was on this trip because the internet wasn't free anywhere. And I had several situations back home at the church at Northgate. A church member had died, and the time difference was such that I couldn't contact them immediately. I had to write up an email and send it, and then plan to wake up in the middle of the night there in Poland and call so I could talk to them during the day. And I was really frustrated by my sense of inadequacy and my sense of being unable to deal with the problems that I had before me and the needs of my congregation that I had right there. And I couldn't deal with them immediately. I wanted to. And as I was frustrated and agitated, I sat there and this little old lady comes shuffling up and plops down in the seat catty corner across from mine in that hotel waiting room. And she begins to talk with me. Now here we are in Warsaw, Poland. And here's this lady starts talking to me with perfect English. In fact, perfect American English. I didn't know where she was in America, but I knew she was from America. It was obvious. And we started talking. And unlike usually when I'm talking with a stranger, I ask them all sorts of questions about themselves and find out who they are, where they're from, what their life conditions are. But this woman was guiding the conversation. She was asking questions about me, about my church, seemed to know an awful lot about me. She asked, "What's wrong? You seem agitated. You seem upset." And so I told her what was going on back home and how I didn't have the ability to make the immediate phone calls that I wanted to make. Everybody was in bed asleep, and I really wanted to do it, but I couldn't do it right then. And she says, it'll be okay. They understand where you are. Get up in a few hours and call them in their morning and deal with it then. Don't let it bother you now. Don't let it weigh heavy on you now. You're a good pastor. You're doing God's good work. Don't let it weigh on you right now. And about the time she said that, the front desk called my name. So I got up and I went over to the front desk and they said, good news, we have a room for you. After only 30 minutes, yep, we've got a room for you. Woohoo! And they gave me my room card and I thanked them and I turned around and I looked back to where I had been sitting and there was my bag, there was my laptop, but the little old woman was gone. And I turned back to the front desk and I said, what happened to that little old woman that was sitting next to me there? And the front desk attendant said, what little old woman? And I felt a shudder, a tingling shudder go down my spine as it occurred to me that this little old woman whose name I did not know, who I didn't know where she was from. I don't know what she'd been doing. I don't know why she was there. I don't know what she did for a living. I don't know anything about her. This little woman had been like an angel to me. No visible wings, no shield, no sword. But wow, the wings of grace had been fluttering in her voice. And from her, I'd heard a word of comfort from God that I desperately, at that moment, needed. Angels. We encounter angels and we don't even know it. We encounter angels and we don't know. And indeed, some may encounter us and believe and feel God speaking to them through us, and we become angels to others. Today we're going to look at one of the stories, and next Sunday, the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, for the four Sundays of Advent, we're going to look at angels. This Sunday we're going to look at Joseph and the angel. Next Sunday we'll look at Zechariah and the angel. The third Sunday of Advent, we'll take a pause, and the choir will bless us with their Christmas cantata. The fourth Sunday of Advent, we'll look at Mary and the angel. And then on Christmas Eve, we'll look at the shepherds and the angels, at how God talks to us, communicates with us, reveals God's will for us through these angelic beings and the calling that God has on us and for us and through us for others. Joseph and the angel. Now, Joseph had discovered some bad news. Unlike is depicted in many of the media around us in pictures and in children's plays and in movies, Joseph and Mary were not yet married. They were betrothed to be married. They were engaged to be married. They had been promised. She had been promised to him. But they had not yet moved in together and consummated the marriage. They had not actually completed the marriage. She was engaged to him, but she was not yet married to him. And in the ancient world, to be discovered as pregnant and not yet be married to the man who's to be your husband is an incredible disaster. In fact, it was a capital crime. And not only would she be disgraced, but she could have been stoned to death for this horrible thing. And her only out would have been if she had been raped. Then the rapist would have been stoned. Now, Joseph could have demanded that justice be served, that righteousness be served, and that she be humiliated and stoned to death. But Joseph had determined No. I don't want her to be hurt. As much as this hurts me, I'm simply going to put her away. And the law in Deuteronomy allowed for this, that if an aggrieved husband decided to, he could put the wayward woman away, and she would not be stoned. And that was what he had decided to do. His compassion, his mercy, his grace was such that he was willing to set aside his own upset and loss of life and simply put her away. And that's when an angel appeared to him in a dream. The angel appears to him in a dream and says, "Don't do this. Don't do this, Joseph, son of David. Don't put her away. But take her as your wife, for she has conceived by the Holy Spirit." Not through some wrongdoing of her own. She is conceived by the Holy Spirit. Take her to be your wife anyway. And when he wakes up, that is exactly what he does. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. Yeshua in Hebrew. Jesus' Aramaic name, Yeshua, means Yahweh delivers. The personal name of God, Yahweh, delivers. Yahweh delivers. Yahweh saves. He gives him this name. In response to the commandment of the angel, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." And he will save the people from their sins. The description of what Jesus will do, he takes and makes it literal as a name. The name Joshua, usually translated into English, is Yeshua. We translate that in the New Testament as Jesus for his name there. It means the Lord will save his people. The Lord will deliver his people. That's the name of this child. Joseph does as he's commanded. He listens to the voice of the angel in this dream. He takes it literally and he does it. He accepts her. He accepts Mary as his wife. It's amazing that the passage does not indicate that he hesitated. It does not indicate that he waffled. It doesn't indicate that he argued with the angel. He just says, "Yes, sir, I'll do it," and does it. He was already predisposed to give grace, to be merciful, to be loving, to not demand her stoning, but to put her quietly away and not present her for public disgrace. And so this command of the angel comes to him to accept her and to accept this child as yours. For it comes from God. And it says this does done to fulfill a prophecy. And Matthew does this all the time. He'll say this event occurred to fulfill this prophecy. That event occurred to fulfill this prophecy. He does it here too. He says this event is to fulfill a prophecy that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which is God with us. And that is who this baby is. That is who this Yeshua is. That is who this Jesus is. That is who this Savior is. That is who this Messiah is. That is who this Christ is. That is who this baby is. This is Emmanuel, God with us. This is Yahweh delivers, Yahweh saves. And Joseph obeyed the command of the angel and graciously did as he was commanded. My prayer is that we all would hear the voice of the angel to us. The voice of the angel calling us to be gracious. The voice of the angel to calling us to be a part of the giving of God's salvation to the world. The voice of the angel who says, the law may say this, but I command you to do this. The law may give you the right to have her stoned. Don't. The law may give you the right to put her away. Don't. Take her as your wife. May we hear the voice of the angel and respond with the same grace. Take Christ as ours. Take Christ, the gift of God's love, and present him to the world. This Advent and Christmas, let us take Christ, receive Christ, and share Christ with all. As Joseph did when he said yes to this angel's command, when he took her as his wife, and when he named the child and presented the child and shared the child, Jesus our Lord, with a world that needs the saving grace of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. May we become obedient to the angel too, and follow the example of Joseph. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's people say, Amen.